good to have testimony. It's always good to have prayer requests, and when we do it amongst our together from time to time is a blessing for what you have to say. Sometimes is a blessing to someone else, and it's an encouragement to someone else. So never think your testimonies and your prayer requests go unnoticed before the Lord, and the Lord sees it and hears it, but also it's encouragement to others. So it's a building up of the community of the church. So if you have your Bibles today, we are going to be in Matthew chapter 11, but I'm going to read a couple of scriptures out of Romans first, but just go ahead and go to Matthew chapter 11. But Romans tells us in chapter 3, it tells us that it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. It also says in verse 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced, and that the whole world is held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we have become conscious of sin. Also says, verse 23, for all have fallen short, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And in verse 7 it says, Blessed are those transgressions whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. I want to share with you today a little bit. We are in the Christmas season, and I want to share with you that this is our Christmas season, and I'm going to do a different angle a little bit on what I want to do today, but I want to share with you that there's a power about the Christmas gift that is amazing. We do a lot of there's parts to preach on it in different many ways, and it's all biblical. But today I want to look at a way that I want you to see the power of the Christmas gift, which is the Christmas gift is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Christmas gift. He is a Christmas gift to the world, but once it's opened, it floods out. What I'm saying is that night that he was born, there were angels, that glorious voices of angels were just singing. Shepherds were there worshiping, doing all this stuff. And then after that moment, things got kind of quiet. You see little spots come up. But when Jesus started his ministry, the Christmas gift did not end after the day he was born. I can tell you right now, just being up in that attic, all that insulation, I can hear Austin coughing and I coughing, and so that's why we're coughing, I guess. As Jesus began his ministry, after being baptized and being tempted and through times of temptation through the desert, he came back into the areas of people. And I want to look at some things in some of the Gospels here quickly this morning in Matthew chapter 11 on how this Christmas gift, how it affects you and I today. Not just then, but how it affects you and I today, because God's Word is a promise to us. And God's Word is the truth to us. It is the truth to the whole world. And so we know that with all that God has for us, all that He has for us, it is for our benefit. But the problem is, as Romans says, we all have fallen short of pleasing God. We all have fallen short of living the right life. So Jesus comes. And in chapter 11, this is what he does. He comes and he brings forth a message. He brings forth a piece. There's a whole lot, but we're only going to pick out a few pieces today. But he doesn't come in and he doesn't start sharing it with those who have and those who don't. He comes and starts looking at the hearts of people. So the Christmas gift is being offered to people. Jesus himself says in chapter 11 of Matthew, verse 28, he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden or burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, take up my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus came in the Christmas gift as walking in the flesh, and he says, I want you, all of you that are, all of you that are going through hard times, all of you that are weary, all of you that are burdened with things, I want you to come to me. Come to me. The Christmas gift is telling us to come to him. That he is offering a peace. He's offering rest from all this other stuff that we get caught up into in the world. Of all the things that we get caught up into the world, he comes and he tells us, come to me. All of you who are burdened, all of you that need rest, you come to him. And he can give you what the world cannot. He will give you a part of the Christmas gift that you can't get anywhere else. He'll give it to you, but he tells you, you need to come. You need to follow. You need to take it. If I was to give you a Christmas gift today, it's not yours until you take it. But you don't know what it is until you open it. And he's telling you to come to him. And he's telling you what's inside of it. Inside of that gift is rest. Inside of that gift is comfort. And the Lord says, listen, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is a promise of Jesus himself. He's telling people to do that. And we see that through the book of Matthew, how he's doing that. It continues to do that. But also, we turn over to the book of Mark, and we see Mark writes something else. Mark writes something else, a part of the Christmas gift. The Christmas gift is it is full of power. 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 Mark chapter 1, we see a piece here. A lot of people don't like to talk about these things, but we see a verse here. We see a piece here in verse 23. Just then a man in the synagogue was possessed by an evil spirit, cried out. Now I want to tell you, there are people that come to church that have a demonic spirit inside of them. Don't tell me the church is just filled up with all godly people. Okay? Jesus went to a synagogue, and this synagogue had somebody in it that was possessed by evil spirits, by the demonic. And he says, and he cries out, the evil spirit cries out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? They knew who the Christmas gift. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. See, he said, be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Come out of him. The evil spirit shook the man violently, and he came out of him with a shriek. And the people were all amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching? With authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him. And that evening, in verse 32, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. They seen somebody open up they see Jesus does something amazing as the Christmas gift for this person who has demonic in him. And it says that evening, everybody was coming. Everybody wanted a part of the gift. Everybody wanted to have that part. And it says that evening after sunset, people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. Here's the problem today. We know what it's like to be sick, but we don't believe that there's demons. Come on now. We don't believe demons are in people anymore. And that's why people aren't free. A lot of people aren't free. Because we stop believing in the miracle, the power of the miracle gift, the Christmas gift that God gives to us. There have been people that have walked into this church that have demonic spirits inside of them. There's been people who have demonic attached to them, working their works through them. And this gift is so powerful that it causes, and the people says, what kind of teaching is this? This has got power in it. We just saw this man with demonic, and he is free. And everybody then all of a sudden brings everybody else in. And it says, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. But he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. And there's a whole other part of that. But in the book of Mark, it tells us some of those darker things of how that the power of the Christmas gift can take to destroy evil. I'm telling you, when Jesus came on this earth was shaken. There was another moment just like it, because we know that King Herod ended up killing all the baby boys in that region of Bethlehem and the region. All the baby boys that were 2 years of age and younger. You know what happened before? When Moses was born. The Old Testament and the New Testament, they mirror one another. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus was sold for 30. Nobody's going to outdo Jesus. And you see the mirror image here. But regardless, what we see here is for the first time. What I'm telling you is we see miracles from the Old Testament. Walking on water. Prophets healing people. We see it also in the New Testament. In the book of Acts, we see the disciples healing people through the Lord. We see it as Jesus walks. But we do not see in the Old Testament as deliverance from demonic. But we see it in the New Testament. There is a power that comes with Jesus Christ. There is a power that comes through Him. And so we see that the demonic can't stand toe-to-toe with the gift that God gives. And that is the gift of Jesus Christ. That's an awesome piece. But also in Luke says he's got something to say about how powerful the Christmas gift is as well. This is an amazing piece. This is an amazing piece. Chapter 23, verse 23. Jesus is on the cross. The Christmas gift is now bloody. The Christmas gift is spread out on a cross. It's not something you would probably hear in most places on a Christmas holiday, a month of December, preaching on the cross. But the Christmas gift wasn't just about the birth, but it was also about the crucifixion. So what we see here, it says two other men, both criminals, were also led out of him, with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the skull, there they were crucified. They crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He's talking about them, and they divided up his clothes by casting lots. People were stirred out, walking, seeing some things. But in verse 39, one of the criminals who was hanging there hurled insults at him, being Jesus. He says, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." He's saying, if you are this Christmas miracle, why don't you? You need to save yourself and save us. But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" He said, "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, he answers him, listen to this, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Now I want to tell you how powerful this Christmas gift is. The first person that's going with Jesus is a criminal. Hello? He is a criminal and he is guilty. That's the power of the whole, that is the power, I keep wanting to say Holy Ghost, but that is the power of the Christmas gift. That is the power of Jesus. Come on, I'm taking you because I don't see you now as a criminal. I see you as someone who has trusted in me and what I've said. Amen. That's right. And so we see the power of the Christmas gift is extended now, not just for the miracle people that received it, not just for those who were demon-filled, where the demons were taken out, but now we're talking about the eternal life. He's saying, listen, you're going to be with me. You're going with me. We're going together. We're doing this thing. He's going with him together, and it is the first one is a criminal. Not the Pharisee, not the preacher, none of that. It was a criminal who was hanging there, guilty as guilty can be. And he, with his own words, he says, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve." And praise God, when you gather the Christmas gift, it does not treat you the way your deeds will call you out to be deserved. But Jesus forgives. I love the Christmas gift because it keeps on giving. But now we go to the book, and now we go into John. John says, "I hold on. I heard it from Mark. We heard it from Mark. We heard it from Matthew. We heard it from Luke. Now, John, his word, the Gospels of John, now it's got something to say. You know what? We all should have something to say about the Christmas gift. How it affected us and how it affects other people. Now, Jesus now has died. In the flesh, he has died, but he made a promise. He said, but today you and I are going to be in paradise. You're coming with me. In chapter 19, I'll read over just a few verses of verse 40. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it up. A few men wrapped it up. They wrapped it up with spices and strips and linen, and they took care of that body there in preparation. Since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. But then what we see here, it says Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and they saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. And what we see here is a whole piece there that Jesus Christ has a resurrected. So that did not keep the Christmas gift. It could not destroy the Christmas gift. The Christmas gift was not just when Jesus was alive. She's crying, and the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb. She was crying as she wept. She went over to look into the tomb, and they saw two angels. She saw two angels in white and seated there, and where Jesus' body had been, and at the head of the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and she cried out in Arabic, "Rabbi." And Jesus says, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to my Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary went off to tell them about the good news of what had happened. But it's when the true part of the Christmas gift is when Jesus says your name, Mary. And God opened her eyes so that she could recognize that it was Jesus himself. You could know all about the Christmas gift. You can look at it. You can hold it. You can even open it. But until you take it home, it ain't yours. Jesus said one word, Mary. Have you heard Jesus call your name? If you're a believer, it should be a kind of on a regular basis from time to time. And if it hasn't been in a while, maybe you need to look at the relationship that you have with Jesus. What's so special about the Christmas gift? Is this. It's just as awesome today as it was the first day that it came. It's just as powerful as it was for them, as it should be for us. The problem is our generation don't believe in all the things that this generation went through. Can I tell you there was a real Jesus? That he was born in Bethlehem, lived in Egypt a little bit, was raised in Nazareth, died between two criminals. He was sentenced. He was not guilty, but sentenced as a guilty man, but was not guilty. You see, the world can see you as guilty or innocent, but it doesn't matter. It just matters what he says. For one man was on the cross, and didn't do anything wrong. He was innocent. Yet they judged him guilty. And that'd be Jesus. But that didn't stop, because God trumps all human things. Another man was actually sentenced, and he was guilty. But he walks with Jesus to paradise because he believed. Yet there was another man who was guilty, and he breathed his last on the cross, and he died as a guilty man. So he's separated from God. The Christmas gift of Jesus Christ is this. You can't do anything about your life because we're all sinners. You can't make yourself better. God sees that. And God knows that we are in a state of lostness. Every person born, as though joyful that we are for babies being born, we're born into sin. But God says he loved the world so much that he gave his only son, the beautiful Christmas gift of his son Jesus Christ, that the world could not handle him, but he calls some magi from out from east to bring in some gifts that somebody's going to take care of. Somebody's going to step in and worship my son. We don't know a lot about that story, but we know God touched the hearts of some men and a caravan of individuals. That the angels came and they sang. Shepherds were out doing their business, and God drew them to the angels and drew them to worship. Just the knowing that he was going to be born was powerful. But it didn't end in the manger. I believe the true part in closing is this, the most powerful part of the gift of Jesus Christ being the Christmas gift is this, that we are on that cross and we say, Lord, remember me. And we take him as our Lord and personal Savior. He says, the Bible says, he that has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Eternal life only comes through Jesus Christ. I believe the most awesome experience that we will have is when we get to stand in the presence of God. And not one of my sins will be there. And not one of those sins of yours will be there. Praise God for that. He won't see you as how the world sees you. He will see you through the eyes of his Son, Jesus Christ. You have been forgiven. You have taken my Christmas gift. And you've opened it and you have put it inside yourself. Praise God for that. Amen. It's not how good we are, it's how awesome he is. Matthew gives us a great piece. Jesus says, come to me, all you broken people, you come to me. And I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you peace. Take my yoke upon you. It's easy. Mark says, all you demon-possessed people, come on over to Jesus. All you sick people, come over to Jesus. He can do miracles. Luke tells us even the criminals can be saved. But John tells us that the Christmas gift is still here. It's not buried in a tomb. But that is here today. I don't know where your heart is today. I don't know where your spirit is today. I still believe that we're still supposed to come to Jesus just the way that we are. I also believe that Jesus does healings. I also believe that Jesus still cast out demons today through the Holy Spirit. I also believe that people need to be saved. People need to be saved. Saved. People need to be saved. And I also believe that that the Lord tarries, when I'm gone, the Christmas gift will still continue until it's all over with. Amen. This is a time and opportunity for you. Hopefully you've been listening to the Holy Spirit on how He's been speaking to you. Maybe today the Lord is just telling you, He's just calling you by your name like He did Mary. You notice God only has to say one thing, and He just gives us, we understand all of it. It's amazing. Only He can do that. So let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to give you an opportunity today, a chance for you to work what you need to work out.